Mr. Griffiths, reel 2.
It's an old army slang.
And so didn't you have time to do any sports or anything of that kind?
Oh, well, we were on PT. We were doing PT every morning on the boat. And lucky enough, there was a swimming bars on the boat. We used to get in there, like. And of course, when we were crossing the equator, we didn't know things, nothing about that, like, because we were young and wasn't told about it.
Told about what?
Well, they just got out of it. When you crossing the equator line, they just throw you in. Swim or not.
Was there a lot of horseplay in the army?
Pardon?
Was there a lot of horseplay in the army?
Horseplay?
You know, sort of fooling about. And...
Oh, God, yes.
What type of things did you do? Type of...
Well, we'd give a man a French bed and things like that. What do you call French beds and... mess about, but... I'll say this, that we were all together, we could take it all in fun. You'd get the odd one or two, like... But on the whole, it is accepted.
You didn't have any accidents due to any of these pranks?
No, I didn't, no.
And what was the food like on board ship?
All right. Pretty good. Hard tack sometimes, didn't you? What we call hard tack, that's biscuits like and bully like. The old famous army food, that was before the war, like. Mm-hmm.
So they gave you a lot of that, did they?
Yeah.
And where did you sleep? Were you in hammocks?
Well, we were fortunate because we went on a new boat, the Voltaire, and they were bunks.
You all had a bunking?
Yeah, we were very, very fortunate because it was a new boat.
Was this its first trip?
I think it is going. I believe it was going into its first trip as a troop ship.
So you were comfortable then, weren't
you? Yeah, and I think it is about the second or third ship to go down after the war, when the war started.
And was there gambling on board ship?
Oh, yeah.
What type of things did you do for gambling?
I didn't gamble myself. I can't play a game of cards now. Crown and anchor and all this, like, you know. Cards.
Was it illegal? Was it against the army rules?
I suppose it was against the army rules, but they never took no heed of it.
So they turned a blind eye to it?
Yeah. Maybe. Perhaps they were doing this else.
Did you get an impression of how the officers were living on board the ship?
Well, they were living far better than us.
In what way?
Food. Well, they always have, haven't they? I mean...
What did the troops think of that? Did they resent that, or did they...
No, we accepted it because we thought, well, they are officers, they're superior to us, and...
So they accepted it?
Yeah. Well, we were taught to respect your superior officer.
You were told that by
the army? We were taught it in our training. Always respect your superior officer.
And did the troops always treat the officers with respect?
Oh, majority. I'll say 99%. You might have one or two say, oh, well, he's an old so-and-so, you know?
Would that be behind his back or to his face?
Oh, you wouldn't do it to his face. He'd been the coolest of the way.
So, what were the relationships like between the officers and the men?
Good.
Always?
Not always, no, I wouldn't say always. But on the whole, I mean, you joined the army to accept discipline and you... If you couldn't accept discipline, well, it'd be no good to you. The army, it'd be a bore. Myself, I found that after I'd been in the army 3 or 4 months, I accepted it and I got down to it. But up to then, it was very trying. I wish I'd never joined. But after that, I was very, very glad I did join.
Can you remember any of the individual officers by name, and do any stick out in your memory?
Oh, yes, we had one. A little officer, a little lieutenant. He was Lieutenant Stevens. And when he used to take us on bayonet training, he was so small that when he'd get to the dummy itself, he'd fall over. He was a good guy, too.
Why was he a good chap?
Well, he was like one of the boys, like one of the lads, you know. And we had one officer, Major de Winton, from Brecon. And he had a dog. And perhaps if he was on the officer, he'd come round. Any complaints? And he'd have his dog with him. Yes, sir. What's the complaint? The bread is stale. Oh, we'd say, well, if Noggins will eat it, you will have fresh bread. But if that dog wouldn't eat it, it'd be stale, you know?
Yeah.
But if he ate it, you'd have fresh bread.
Uh-huh.
Like a kind of a...
A test.
And when he'd go in front of him, if he went on a charge, and he'd say to the dog, Noggins, what shall I give him? 7 days, I'll let him off. And if the dog barked, he was let off. Yeah, I think he was a fanatic.
So the soldiers thought he was a bit...
Oh, we thought he was a nutter, to be honest about it. Yeah.
So the soldiers like the officers to... not to be on their high horses, then. They like them, as you said before, to be one of them.
Well, in India, I believe, bar one or two, we were all one big, happy family. You know?
Bar one or two officers.
Yeah. Yeah. You get the one, two. You get that all sorts of life. But on the whole, it is pretty good. Of course, naturally, their standard of life were far above ours, like.
What about the NCOs? Was there any... How did the NCOs get on with the men?
Oh, good. You had to accept... If you'd done anything wrong, well, you'd expect to be punished. But, of course, there again, with the NCOs, you get some good ones and some not too good. Some would perhaps have his knife into you for something, or which you hadn't done, and get it in for you, and that was it, sort of thing.
Can you remember any instances which occurred where people felt that they'd been treated unfairly?
Yeah. There was an NCO called name of Corporal Condon. Unfortunately, he's dead now. And he had his knife into this provost corporal. And he went and asked the commanding officer, could he have this out in the gyms with the provost sergeant? And he gave him permission. And of course, Private Condon, he was a very, very hard boy. So was this Scotch provost corporal. And Condon came out the best. And he was a brilliant, he had a brilliant head in him. And he wouldn't take promotion. I think if we were to interview any of the South East Borders men again and ask them about Corporal Condon of the 1st Battalion South East Borders, they would tell him about it.
Was Condon a corporal or a private?
He was a private first, then he was a corporal.
Uh-huh. But he wouldn't accept promotion above corporal?
No, and he used to take us to we had to go to school. Ordinary school, you know, ordinary day school. And he would teach you. And you'd have what you call sums or arithmetic in front of you and history. And perhaps you'd come up with a first class of certificate of education, second class or third class. And he'd be teaching it. Also, he was a good good NCO on manoeuvres. Good all-rounder.
Why do you think the other chap was picking on him?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps I haven't got a clue to that. But I know the fight did come off.
Were all the men watching it?
Yeah, we were watching, yeah.
Could you cheer on who you wanted? Or?
Yeah, go on, Connor, let him have it. I mean, because here's another point about it. Mind, if you're on the police in the army, the regimental police, if it was a good bloke, to you he was still no good. Because you'd think to yourself, well, he might nail me one day. Mm. Although you was a good fellow on the police.
Can we talk about when you first arrived in India?
Yeah.
How long did the voyage take? About
3 weeks, sir. Because we went through the Suez, you see.
What was your first impression of India? You know, there you've been sailing.
God, the smell of it. The smell when I got there first, I thought, God, like, what's this? We arrived in Bombay. And when we got there, they issued us what we call a derry.
What's that?
Like a blanket, you know. Sort of a blanket to put under your blankets on the bed, you know. And a derry and two blankets to go on the train to your station. And we were then put on the train, and the train would go about 2 miles an hour. It would take quite a while to get to your destination where you were going to get posted.
So you were sleeping on the train?
Yeah.
What did you sleep on?
On boards.
On the seats?
Mm-hmm. Like a three each side, you know?
So it was pretty uncomfortable journey.
Oh, yeah.
And how did you feed on the train?
Well, we were calling at stations. When we were going up, there were stations having our food ready for us, like, you know. Soldiers on the station giving us our food, like.
So you had cooked meals?
Yeah.
And did you see anything of the countryside as you were going?
Oh, yeah,
What impression did you get?
Oh, I thought, well, God, it looked all barren and filthy and dirty and which native sleeping on the station, you know. No beds to go to, like sleeping on the station, like.
So you hadn't really got a very good impression?
No, not a very good impression at all.
So were you a bit worried about...
I was very, very worried, so I thought, well, what are we going into? What are we going into, I thought.
And can you remember your arrival at Cawnpore?
Before we get to Cawnpore, we were into Peshawar first. We went into a place called Peshawar. And I think the Royal Berkshire Regiment was stationed there. And we had a meal there. And then we went up to Landikotal, you see, up to the other station, the outpost station. And when we got to the station where we were to be billeted, our barracks, it was Landikotal. I thought, God alive, what is this?
Why?
It's the end of the world. God, we were surrounded by barbed wire. And we had to do inlaying pickets, what they call inlaying pickets by night, and do guards on the blockhouses.
What do you mean by inlaying?
An inlaying picket is that you have an NCO and seven or eight men, patrolling the barracks every night, you see, in case of intruders.
And did you ever get any intruders?
Oh, quite a few, yeah. What
are they intruded for?
I think they were angry, very, very angry. I think mostly the food of it. And of course, I think, well, it was, I didn't, I don't think, I know it's true that they were after ammunition.
Did they get any?
Not to my knowledge.
Were you warned about thieves coming into the
house? No, you come into that. That's what we term a loose waller. No, they cover themselves with all cheetah fat.
Why was that?
Well, a dog or nothing would go near them. And they were so slippery.
Did you see any?
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
And what? And they were after guns and ammunition?
Guns and ammunition.
Were any caught?
One was caught down in Cawnpo with us. I'm going back from Landy Court now down to Cawnpo. I'm going off the Surrey a bit, I think, aren't I?
No, that's all right.
We were caught, and of course they were dealt with then by the regimental CO. And the first words we were taught out there, do you mind if I say the first words we were taught?
Please.
Jowl, you black bastard.
Jowl?
Jowl.
Does it mean hurry up?
Get away.
Can you remember anything else that you learnt of their language?
Oh, yes. Tikai sab. That's okay, like, you know. When we go to the Chawa, you know, we used to shout, Chawa le! Idarau jiltikai.
What does that mean?
That's hurry up and come here. You say, ek char and do what? That's one cup of tea and two cakes. Similar to see what you see on the television, that...
It's Entaf Hot Month.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a very accurate programme?
To me, I think it's a good replica of it.
You think it's authentic, do you?
Yes, yeah, oh yes. And you get the punkawala, like. And if he didn't pull his weight, you'd throw a boot at him or something like that. Which is quite true.
But the officers in that don't seem very competent, do they, really?
No.
Is that true?
Oh, no, yeah, it's true. Yeah.
You didn't find the officers very competent?
No. But, as I'm saying, when I went out there first, you see blokes kicking him, you know, kicking a native, like, you know? And you thought, well, what's he doing that for? Of course, that fella had been out there quite a while, and you'd get the same as him. I think it is a tense of being out there all the time and in the same place, and things getting you down, perhaps. And
what if a British soldier kicked or hit a servant? Could the servant complain against a British soldier?
He could do, but whether he'd get away with it, I wouldn't know.
Why might he not get away with it?
Well, I think the officer would take you apart more than this.
Did it happen? Do you remember any instances where servants did actually complain?
Yeah, what we'd call them, they'd cry to you, they'd go on their hands and knees, you know, and say, no, nay sab, me no pakrawala, I'm not a thief. And we were allowed a bearer to do our kit, shine our kit up, you know. And we used to give him what you call a char annan a week. That's 4 annans a week.
And did you find that stuff was stolen very often in barracks?
No, because of course we had to sleep with our rifle. Our rifle was chained to us.
Was that in Landy Curtle or in Cawnpo?
Landy Curtle and Cawnpo. You had to go to church with a belt of ammunition and a rifle up the spout. A round up the spout.
And so what were you going to say about theft? About stealing in the barracks?
Well, amongst our soldiers, you mean?
Well, amongst us, so did you steal from each other, or did the servants steal from this
battalion I was in, the first battalion I was in, I could have my pay on a Friday, and I could leave it on my bed till the next Friday, and nothing would be, it'd still be there.
So the
outstanding.
The other soldiers and the servants were all trustworthy, were they?
Outstanding. I guess, as I say, I repeat myself, we could leave our pay on the bed. And if one bloke was staying in, we'd say, well, any of you coming out? Well, no, and we'd all chip in. And perhaps you'd be the same the next day, because the wages then was very, very low.
How much did you get?
Well, we used to have about 5 rupees a week then. I was about 8 shillings. Of course, the rest of your credits, the rest of your money would be going into credit, you see. In the English money, it'd be about 14 bob a week, you know. But by the time they march you down for Blanco and Brasso, and you didn't have a lot left. Times were hard, but we had good fun.
Do you mean that the soldiers were saving part of their money for when they left the army?
Pardon?
Do you mean to say that the soldiers didn't draw all their money, but they kept some? Did the army keep some for us to go and leave. What entitlement did you have to leave? Did you have any entitlement to leave?
No, if we had leave due to you, you know?
How often would you have leave due to you?
Well, I only had one leave in India. You could put in for a 3-day leave, or, you know.
Uh-huh. And what did you do with your leave?
I went to Lucknow. And enjoyed myself down there.
What type of things did you do?
Oh, I went around in the town and drinking. Usual thing, eh? And we used to drink what we call ashay beer. It was a Japanese beer. If you had about 5 glasses of that, you didn't know where he was.
Were you with your friends, or was it?
Yeah, friends. Yeah.
How many were there of you?
Well, there was 3 of us when I went. And I enjoyed it.
When you went on leave, did the army tell you where you could go?
Oh, yeah, we had to tell him where we were going. We had to tell him where we were going.
So you just chose Lucknow?
Yeah, yes.
And they said that was all right.
And if they wanted us then, well, we had to give the address where we were. And if they wanted us urgently, we were back and straight away.
But did the army tell you that there were certain places you couldn't go to?
Oh, yes, out of bounds. There were places out of bounds.
What places were those?
Well, the villages. In case you caused disturbances.
But you could cause disturbances in the town?
Yeah. But I don't suppose they took that way of view of it. But if you went, as I've stated, in villages, they say, well, that's out of bounds, and you don't go beyond that point. If you do, well, you're back and you'll get reprimanded for it.
Can we talk about the training that you did in India? Was it the same type of training that you had been doing?
Same type of training, but same guns, you know. Same type of guns, and as we were in England. But as I stated previously, it is very, very much harder training out there. And you had to be protected by all insects and things like that, you know. Mosquitoes.
What forms of protection did you have?
I think it's a place called anti-dimming. You would put it on your face, you know.
Like an ointment, was it?
Yeah, like an ointment. And you'd have a mosquito in it.
And so was this ointment an insect repellent?
Yeah.
Did it keep all the insects away?
I'd like to tell you when you said about when we got to India first to our station.
Yes.
Well, I was woken up about 3 o'clock in the morning. And of course, the old soldiers out there never told us this. This is quite a laugh. And when I woke up, and there was a big black nigger looking down at me with a big razor about that long. Well, now, the idea of that is this. They'll shave you, ready for you to go on parade next morning. But it is a very frightening experience at the time. But of course, it's the old soldiers won't tell you because they think, oh, you'll have a shock in the bloody morning, like, you know. I thought it was funny after, like, and of course, the drafts coming out after then, we were doing the same to them. We wouldn't tell them nothing.
Were there any other sort of jokes you played on the incoming draft?
Oh, get your knees brown. You're white as a berry. Get your knees brown.
Coming back to the training then, did you have any special forms of training, like mountain warfare training?
Oh yeah, we would. We
jungle,
that's,
do you have jungle that's, training?
No, not jungle training. That was our training, jungle warfare. Mountain warfare was our training. That was the training in India, mountain warfare.
What was special about mountain warfare training?
Well, when you go out there, like, you'd get in sections and you try to seek each other's positions, you know? Which is very hard in mountainous warfare. Because, I mean, say, if you got up, perhaps somebody could see you just... It's very, very difficult to say about that sort of thing. But what I want to stress to you is this, that the mountains out there, which we call Cuds, are different to these mountains here, I mean, because they were flat. I mean, out there you had to scale it sort of thing.
So you didn't have any jungle warfare training?
No, I didn't have jungle warfare, no.
Did you have any special training for dealing with riots?
Oh,
or
yes.
Crowds?
Yes.
What did they train you to do for?
We were out, and we had to have the, what do you call it, Major's order first before you fire. Disperse the crowd. You do fire in the air to disperse them, because they have what they call a lot of Ramsamis.
What does it mean?
That's they just go mad for a night or something like that, or